In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
I don't know what you're like at waiting. Anybody any good at waiting? Research tells us that actually we wait throughout our lives between 4 and 5 whole weeks we spend waiting throughout our lives. We wait for the computer to download and upload. We wait for our phones to come on. We wait for the doctor's appointment. We wait for our prescriptions. We wait for the decisions of the various tests our doctors have done. We wait all the time at traffic lights. Endless amount of traffic lights. What you like at waiting? I think in the UK, we're really good at queuing. I don't think we're really good at waiting. Is that true? Have you noticed? We get frustrated. We get annoyed. Well, since I was with you last time, something dramatic happened in our lives. My daughter gave birth to a child 8 weeks ago today. Oh, thank you. I know I don't look old enough. Yeah. 8 o'clock on Thursday morning, our waters broke. And we had this telephone call. The baby's on its way. And we waited. We heard nothing until that Thursday lunchtime. And they decided that they ought to go into hospital and check it out. So they went to the hospital. The Watts Hospital did their various investigations and sent them home and said, "Just wait." So they came home. Friday morning, we had a telephone call. "Nothing's happening yet." So we waited. Friday evening, they decided to go back to the hospital. And the hospital says, "Oh, we're really, really busy. There's nowhere for you to go. Just sit in that chair and wait." You know, as grandparents, or potential grandparents, it's a horrendous time, isn't it? Just sitting around waiting, unable to do anything at all. Saturday morning, we had a telephone call. "Nothing's happening. They might be doing something later on today. I think they've just found a bed." And we waited. And we heard Saturday evening, "Nothing's happening." Well, something's slightly happening. "They've induced me," my daughter said. "But nothing's happening." Sunday morning, 8 weeks ago, over 3 days after for when she first started, Ezra came into the world. And my wife, when we got out of bed and we had the telephone call, said, "We need to go." And I said, "I can't. I'm preaching. We'll go after I preached." So she said, "Okay, you go. I'll get ready. And as soon as you come back, we can go." So that's what we did. And we shot up to Warwick. And we went in and saw this amazing baby. Sorry, folks, if you have a child. This baby is the most beautiful baby in the world. Waiting. We hate it, don't we? Can I invite you to do something a moment? Can you just put your hands out like that? Maybe helpful for you today, just to close your eyes. I'm going to do an exercise before we come to God's word. I want you to imagine in your mind's eye, put all those things that are a burden to you right now. Maybe there are some things that you've been waiting for, you haven't received. Just put them there. They're heavy. They're weighty. Can I invite you just to turn your hands down so your palms face the floor? And as you do, Lord, I give these to you right now. All my hopes, all my desires, all my waitings, all the burdens I give to you, they're yours. Can I invite you just to turn them back up again? See your palms face. What do you require from God today? What's your longing from him? In the quiet, I invite you to ask God to come and to meet with you by his Spirit through his word. Lord Jesus, we invite you today to come and meet with us. Speak to us. We're absolutely desperate to meet with you, Lord. We cannot survive this coming week without your help. So come, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to these two passages. One is from Luke 24. And the other passage is in Acts 1. Luke 24 in Acts 1. At the end of Luke 24, in verses 36 to 45, Jesus outlines for the disciples what's just about to happen. And in verse 49, he says these words, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Then we have what seems to be a bit of a break, and the same writer in Acts chapter 1 picks the story up again in verse 4. He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father's promised, which you've heard from me, and what you heard me speak about. So here is Luke, the writer, writing his an account of the life of Jesus. Luke, the writer, in Acts, give an account, as we'll see further on in the weeks ahead, of the account of what God did through his church. But there was this time in between, this waiting period. What went on during this time? This 40 days from Easter to Ascension, the 10 days from Ascension to Pentecost. What happened during this period of just waiting? Well, it wasn't just loitering around. We're told in Acts, verse 8, they were to stay in Jerusalem and you will receive power. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The first thing they received was a commission from God. You're going to be a people that actually transforms not only this community that you live in, but the wider world too. They also received and watched Jesus go up to heaven. In verse 9 to 12. Then during this waiting period, they spent time praying. They joined together constantly in prayer. Then in verses 21 to 26, they chose a new apostle. They took lots. But I think the key verse for us, I want us to take this morning as we go to the Acts passage is the one in Luke 24. I'm going to send you what my father's promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So they were told just to wait, just to stop. Now, we need to put this into context. They've seen the risen Lord Jesus. He was alive. He transformed their thinking. God, this is amazing. Then he says, just wait. Wait for what? How much time is this going to take? One of the things these disciples had to learn here is that they need to be convinced of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Although they may have all the full information of all of that, they weren't able to do anything without the coming of the Spirit. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. So part of God's plan here was to stop, be still, as the psalmist talks about. Actually, for some of us in the congregation today, that's the word that you're going to need to hear. In the busyness of life, in just the mass things that are going around in your head, if you want to know God, you're just going to need to stop. Be still. Wait. Interesting, the disciples experienced something of this before, didn't they, in Luke. Luke 23. Do you remember when Jesus took some of his disciples with him to the hillside, and he said to them, wait with me, sit down here and wait. And he went over on his own, and he knelt down, and he prayed. Do you remember that occasion? And they watched him, and Jesus went back, and when he went back, he discovered them, what? It's really hard to wait, isn't it? And to stay awake. On that occasion, they went with Jesus and they waited. What we're told about here, they're not going to wait with Jesus, they're going to wait for him. And that's a huge difference for us. It's easier, isn't it? If the Lord Jesus was here, we can watch his example, see how he does it. But he says, no, I want you to wait for me here. The thing is, they didn't know how long that was going to be for. They didn't know what that meant. But it seems that 120 disciples just decided to hang around in Jerusalem to see what was going to happen. Don't know how many of you I've been hearing about or read about the Asbury University 2023. In February, they went to morning service. And in that morning service, a preacher preached. The way he described what happened was this. Zach said it didn't seem the will of the people to stay and to worship on this morning service. It didn't feel like the effort of the people to stay. It just felt like God lingered in a unique way and students had permission to stay. Within 16 days, 60,000 people experienced something of the movement of God. Some of those just were drawn to the university. Some of them just felt a renewness of their own heart to life. There are whole loads of people who came to know the Lord Jesus for themselves. I think what happened at Ashbury is something similar to what happened here in Acts. God seemed just to linger. It wasn't that the people had an intention that this was going to happen. It seemed like God just came. They lingered with intent, and God turned up. I wonder this morning, when you got out of bed, had your breakfast, got in your car, walked here, came through the door, sat down, picked up your coffee, what was your intent this morning? I wonder if it was a real expectation that today was the day when God was going to meet you in a unique and special way. You see, God had a plan. We know something of that plan, that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus. We know something of the plan that Jesus not only revealed to us something of God, he taught us something of what God was like. God had a plan too for his son to die, that you and I can be renewed, reawakened. You and I can be cleansed. But God also had a plan. This was a different plan from the Old Testament, by the way, where the Spirit of God came upon people for specific times and for a specific reason. God always had a plan to come and live within people and transform them from the inside out. And part of that plan was that they had to wait. They had to wait for a sovereign work of God to work in their lives, for God to work within them. Well, God had many promises, didn't he, about this? Joel tells us, and afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your own men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. What a promise! What about Ezekiel? I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will pour my spirit in you and move to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And what about Jeremiah? This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and there will be my people. And if you even look at Jesus' teaching in John, he spends so much time to tell them that the Spirit will come. He will lead you in truth, in knowledge. He'll bring revelation. He'll bring real conviction. Let me just say to some of you this morning, maybe God's been touching bits of your heart and bits in your life. You need to hear that not as a punishment from God, but God's doing something in your life. This isn't a punishment. This is something good from God. God had a plan. God's plan that he was going to work in people's hearts, your hearts. He was going to fill you. God's made promises that actually today some of us can receive. But it was a promise of power. Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait. We're told in Acts 2. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came on rest on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. That wind, that fire, those languages. That wind of God that isn't something within us. It's actually something without us, which God brings within. It changes everything. That fire, that purifying fire of God that changes us and molds us. Those languages of God that where I'm unable to explain to someone about God. He just comes and gives us ability to share the truths of him. One ancient writer, De Tozer, wrote this: the Holy Spirit is not a luxury, not something added now and again to produce a deluxe type of Christian once in a generation. No, he is the very child of God, a vital necessity that will fill and dwell his people. It's more than a divine ideal. It's a divine imperative. God has a plan. He has a purpose. God's power, God's plan, God's purpose. But also there's a partnership involved. And that's where this Acts 1 passage becomes really important. Because we're told here that the disciples had to obey and listen to God. They could have run ahead with their ideas. Well, Jesus is risen from the dead. Hallelujah! Let's go and conquer the world! But if they did it, they would did it in the wrong way. It wouldn't have worked. They had to be obedient to him. I tell you what, I think it's easier to do things for God than to wait for God to tell us what to do. You notice that? I can come up with 101 ideas. But the disciples here had to wait. That's all he wanted them to do. They had to have an obedient heart. That waiting wasn't just hanging around. God was doing something deep within their lives. I don't know how expectant you are for God, or some of you in this room may have been longing for God to do something for years, but he hasn't. Can I just encourage you today, discover that one thing that God is doing right now to get you ready for him? By the way, that partnership involved prayer. No doubt there was a lot of sharing of stories, but their main part was praying. You see, there was nothing they could do without God's power to come. There was nothing they could do unless they come to God in prayer. There's no presence, there's no power, there's absolutely nothing. And by the way, this wasn't just, come Lord Jesus, come. They had a longing. My wife, when my daughter was pregnant, could not wait for my grandson to come. I have to confess, it's cost me an absolute fortune. She bought, before he was ever born, an outfit for when he was 9 to 12 months old. When my daughter was starting to give birth, it was my wife who couldn't sleep, waiting to hear what was going to happen. Now, it wasn't, I've got to wait. There was a longing for it to happen. There was a desire, come now, come. I think, by the way, it was worse for my daughter. But there was a heart desire here. A real heart desire, a longing. God, we cannot do this on our own. Do you remember Peter? I would do anything for you, Lord. What did he do? He denied him. Peter, you have to wait until Jesus is risen from the dead. Peter had to wait until Jesus confronted him and he had to face his weaknesses. At that point, everything changed for Peter, didn't it? I wonder if we really do long for God to come by his Spirit. To highlight the things in our lives that are not quite right. In order that actually we give up on our plans and we wait for his plans. God's power is released onto them. Do you remember Luke 4? Jesus was baptized by the Holy Spirit, Luke tells us. And the Spirit of God descended on him. He was filled with the Spirit. That's what the passage tells us. Not quite there yet, mate. Is that okay? In a few minutes. We're told that he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Do you remember that? So he was filled with the Spirit, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. But before he went into ministry, he felt some difficult times, didn't he? He caught the temptations. But there's that little bit in Luke that says, he left in the power of the Spirit. Hang on a minute. He was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. But it wasn't until this point that he left in the power of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll come and you'll fill us. Lord, I want to be led by you. But there's that sovereign work of God where his power works through us. Conversations that we have change. The people we meet suddenly comes along. One of the interesting things of traveling around the churches within our own network of late is how many churches I go to and they're talking about people just coming off the streets, not yet Christians, and come along to say, I want to know how to become a Christian. I was talking to a minister yesterday and 2 weeks ago they had a chap who came into church. And he said, I don't know why I'm here. It's just that I said to God, if you keep my father alive until I can actually come and visit him, I'll come and find out about you. And he said, my dad stayed alive, so I'm here this morning to try and find out from him. And he became a Christian. Why is God doing what he's doing with the people at Hillfields? I know you met Rich a few weeks ago. My friend here, what is God doing? It brought me to all of a sudden all these young adults being around. What is God doing at Devizes and bringing a whole group of families that, well, there weren't families there before. Why is it that more and more of our churches are having more regular baptisms than ever before? And not just people who've been brought up in church, but actually people who've just become Christians who had no idea about church. I hear so many people talk as if God has given up on this world. God has given up on his church. God hasn't gone back on his great commission. God hasn't reneged on the promises that he's made. Jesus hasn't gone back into the tomb and died. He hasn't told us to stop praying, stop longing, stop desiring. But it does require us to obey, to listen to him today. It means that we're going to have to wait until his spirit comes before we go off and do stuff on our own strength. Now, I have to say, this wasn't to bless the disciples. When the tongues of fire came and the wind blew, it must have been amazing, mustn't it? But straight following that, Peter stood up and proclaimed God's word to the people. This wasn't about empowering to go and do, but they had to wait, stop. I think God's message for some of us this morning is we need just to stop striving, stop doing, stop and listen to God and be obedient. Can I invite you just to close your eyes a moment? Okay. I quite like what they talked about happened at that university. It seemed that the students just lingered. It wasn't that they made it happen. How did he describe it? God lingered amongst them. And that lingering moments of God, he did something supernatural in people's lives. My prayer this week has been for you, that this morning, and for me, that God would linger in such a way and in a way that we've never experienced before. My problem is I can't make that happen. Lord, I just pray, please, Lord, come and meet us right now. Touch the areas of our life that needs cleansing, confessing. If you loved us that much, Lord, come and show us, please. Make us clean vessels right now, Lord, that you can come and dwell amongst us and in us. For too long, Lord, we strived and we tried to make things work. And today, Lord, we long for your spirit to come, to renew, to revive, to blow on these dry bones and to awaken us again. Lord Jesus, we invite you to reveal again your plan. We take bread and wine, remind us. Linger with us. We pray in Jesus' name.